Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Samach Vav. We left off on daf Samach Hamid Beis. We are up to the Brisa of Tanu Rabbanan Tzinar Shechakaka, which is about 8 lines before the end of the page on Samach Hamid Beis. If you recall, yesterday we were discussing the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer regarding when you have something that was not originally, that was originally a kli, and then it became part of the ground, right? So is that included as part of the bayis, or is it not included as part of the bayis? Specifically, they argued about a machteshes kavua. Kavua meant that originally it wasn't kavua, and then it became kavua. So we're going to compare this to other areas of halacha where we have similar types of discussion. So first, a quick word about mikvaos before we delve into this brisa regarding mikvaos. The Torah says, "Ach mayan ubar mikvah mayim yeh tahar." Right, that there are two ways that something can become tahar, either by being put in a mayan or a bar mikvah mayim, or a bar that has gathered water in it. The Medrash Darshins, Yachala filu male b'kseifa v'asa mikvah yeh tahar. I might think, even if you schlep water on your shoulders and you make a mikvah by that, by schlepping water in buckets and filling up a bar, that you can be tahar. Tamalomar mayan. And that's why the Torah relates mikvah to a mayan. Ma mayan bidei shemayim. Af mikvah bidei shemayim. Just like mayan is a natural spring of water, so to mikvah has to be bidei shemayim. It has to be something that's a natural collection of water. So the Rishonim have a machlokas regarding this drasha, whether it's a drasha gemura, and therefore a mikvah that's made completely by filling up kalim and pouring it into a bar is pasul min haTorah, or it's only an asmachta bialma and min haTorah, a mikvah might even be kosher, even if the mayim is mayim she'uvim b'kli, even if it's water that was gathered by a kli. The Ravid holds that the psul min haTorah is only when you bring the mayim to the mikvah al yidei kli, and the mikvah is made bidei adam. But if it comes min haShemayim al yidei kli, meaning if the rain hits a kli and the kli brings it to the mikvah somehow, so even though it passed through a kli, but it was min haShemayim, so as long as the kli is not mekabel tum, there's no psul min haTorah. Everyone would agree that that tvila in a kli is pasul min haTorah, because that's not a mikvah. A mikvah has to be a bar, it has to be something that's part of the ground. If it's a separate kli, so then it's not going to be a kashra tvila. The chachamim pasul the mikvah that had shloshu lugin mayim shuvim, that even had three lug of water that was drawn, because once it has shloshu lugin mayim shuvim, a mikvah is not going to be kasher, even if you add a lot of rainwater afterwards, it's not going to help. Once you have shloshu lugin mayim shuvim, it's going to be pasul. However, a mikvah that had megishamim, it had rainwater that filled the entire mikvah 40 sa. 40 sa is a sheer mikvah, right? 40 sa is the amount of water that you can fill a space of one amma by one amma, barom shalosh amos, with a height of three amos. We assume a person takes up that amount of space. A person is one amma by one amma. We find that in Mesechah Sukkah, when we discuss the minimum size of a sukkah, right? So there's a machlokas, whether it's six tfachim by six tfachim, which is one amma by one amma, or seven tfachim by seven tfachim. And the sheet that says seven tfachim by seven tfachim says so because you need to fit more than yourself. You need to fit your shulchan also in the sukkah, and that's why you need the extra tefach. But a person takes up one amma by one amma. We assume the average height of a person is three amos. Discussion in the Rishonim whether that means the full height of a person is three amos, or only up until the shoulder or so is three amos. With the mikvah, it would make sense, even if it's only up until the shoulder is three amos, but if you, because of water displacement, if you go into a mikvah, the natural height of the water will then come above your head. And that's why that makes sense with what we learned earlier in this Masechta, that Hezek Re'iyah is the way to prevent Hezek Re'iyah by seeing into someone else's field is by building a fence that's four amos high. If a person's only three amos tall, why do you need a fence that's four amos high? So first of all, some people are taller than others. But even assuming an average person of average height, it's because a person maybe is only three amos high till the shoulders. But maybe in total, he's closer to four amos high. Obviously, if you say a person is four amos high, then an amma has got to be significantly less than 2 feet, which is what very often people assume an amma is, right? But the Gemara talks about an amma being from the elbow to the tip of to the tip of your middle finger, so that's usually less than 2 feet on an average person anyhow. So anyway, when the mikveh has 40 sa'a of megishamim, which is the shear that's kasher for tefillah, rov rishonim hold that even if you bring kol mayim shaba'olam, you bring all the water in the world afterwards, it's not going to passel the mikveh. And you could even lechatchila be mosif mayim shuvim to a mikveh that already has 40 sa'a of kasher mikveh water. And if you put a sa'a of mayim shuvim into a mikveh and you take a sa'a of the old water out of the mikveh, right, after you have 40 sa of regular mikveh water, you then add a sa of mayim shuvim. You take a bucket and you add a sa of mayim shuvim, and then you pull a sa out of the mikveh. According to Rov Rishonim, the mikveh is going to be kosher if you do that as well, even if you do it several times, because once the shem mikveh is chal on it, so it's not going to be nifsal, but mayim shuvim. Mayim shuvim is no longer going to passel it. However, the Rambam and the Ravid hold that if you do what's called nasan sa'a v'natal sa'a, if you add a sa'a of mayim shuvim and take away a sa'a of the original water, and you do that more than 19 times, so then the you can assume the majority of the water in the mikveh is not from kosher water, and therefore the mikveh is going to be pasul. So that's what we assume, that's what we're machmir like, that if you're nasan sa'a v'natal sa'a enough times, so it's going to be a problem. So says the Gemara. Let's see how this relates to us. Tana Rabbanan, tzinor shechakako l'besof kavo posel as hamikvah. Let's say you have a pipe that you hollowed out, so you made it into a kli, you made it into a pipe, and then you koveya it in the ground, you connect it to the ground. So that posels the mikvah, meaning that's going to be considered mayim shuvim. The water that goes through that pipe is considered to be going through a kli. But kavul b'sof chakako eino posel as hamikvah. If you first connected it to the ground and then you hollow it out to make it a usable pipe, then it's not going to passel the mikvah because it was attached to the ground from its very inception, so therefore it's not considered something that's mekabel tumah. So it's not considered clear that it's mekabel tumah. So money, lo Reb Lazar v'lo Rabbanan. So this brisa seems to be against both Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan. Now, the rest of the daf is going to be trying to figure out which Reb Lazar and Rabbanan we're talking about when we say that this is against both Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan. Meaning, we just had a why are we bringing it in? We're bringing it in because we just had a machlokas Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan regarding a kli that was then attached to the house. Whether that's still considered a kli, or whether once it's attached to the house, it's considered part of the bias. Which sounds very similar, and that's obviously going to be our first option of what we're talking about when we say that this Mishnah Mikvaos is against both Reb Lazar and the Rabbanan. But before we even get to that, Tosfos has a couple of very important points. Tosfos Dibur Maskel Tzinar says, first of all, Ikalu Ukmei, Afil beparts mishnei ruchos kederach atzinar. He says, wait a second, what's a pipe? A pipe is a hollow cylinder that has holes on both sides. What's a kli? A kli is defined as something that has a base kibul, something that can hold something. Now, if it has holes on both sides, what can the pipe hold? It can't hold anything. Why is a pipe even a kli to begin with? It shouldn't even be considered a kli. So it also says, "Ikaluk me'afilu b'parutz mishnei ruchos." It could be that we're talking about a pipe that's open on both sides. Kederach hatzinor, like pipes are. But the case, what's the base kibul? Ugnon shechatato be'emtza lekabel tzroros. The Baha'i base kibul chashivi mayim shuvim shov maloso base kibul. Meaning that the idea is that they would make something in the middle of the pipe to catch rocks when the water flows through, so you want the water to be filtered a little bit, that if there are any stones, pebbles in the water, that it should be caught in the pipe before it gets to wherever the pipe is bringing the water. So that's a base kibul. If it has something that can catch rocks, so that's a base kibul for rocks. So that's what we're talking about, that it serves as a base kibul. And therefore, water that passes through that base kibul, that's passing through a kli, and that's what makes him mayim shuvim. That's going to make it the kind of water that can passel the mikveh. That's point number one that Tosfos makes. Point number two that Tosfos makes, also a very important point, toward the end of the Tosfos, the last four or five lines, v'dafka shemayim noflin mitzinor lemikveh. This is only true if the water goes straight from the pipe into the mikveh. Avlim noflu mitzinor lekarko, mikarko lemikveh, hamshachihi. But if it goes from the pipe to the ground, and from the ground into the mikvah, then that's called hamshacha, and it's not going to veinu posel a mikvah im yesh kvar b'mikvah chafal of sa megeshamim, and then it's not going to posel the mikvah if you already have 21 sa of megeshamim of regular rainwater in the mikvah. Hamshacha is not going to posel the mikvah. So what does hamshacha mean? Hamshacha is a way of pouring mayim shuvim on the ground outside of the mikvah and allowing the water to naturally flow from the ground directly into the mikvah. And the Gemara in Temura Daf Yud Beis says that if a mikvah contained over 20 sa of regular rainwater, then the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov allows for getting the rest of the water, the rest of the 40 sa, by doing hamshacha, by running mayim shuvim along the ground directly into the mikvah. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch hold that this is lahalacha, that you're allowed to do, that hamshacha works. The Radvaz, however, in the Tshuva, Chelik Aleph, Simen Pei Hei, writes that you're not supposed to do hamshacha l'chadchila, meaning to bring water into a new mikvah via hamshacha is not a din l'chadchila. It's kosher, but it's not something you should do l'chadchila. And he said that we only allow p'diavad when it unintentionally, if water came and it passed through the ground and it went into the mikvah that way, then it's going to be kosher if it happened p'diavad, but certainly l'chadchila, we're not allowed to do this. So there are several machloks and rishonim regarding the halachas of hamshacha that are interesting to note. First of all, I'm getting all this, by the way, from Rabbi Jachter's second volume of Gray Matter. He has several essays. We once went through them in shul, I think at a shalosh shudas or something, a shir. We went through had the basic ideas of building a mikvah. But he has three machlokes and rishonim relating to hamshacha. The first is the Rambam writes that the Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos Perek Dalet Halachates quotes a shita and rejects it of some rishonim who said that an entire mikvah can be created through hamshacha. And the Rambam rejects such an idea, says that no, only once you have, the Gemara says specifically, only once you have half of the mikvah of regular rainwater, then you could do hamshacha. Now, the Chaznish says that according to the Ravid, if all the water came from hamshacha, it's pasul midaraisa. Whereas Tosos would seem to suggest that a mikvah whose water consists entirely of mayim she'uvim is revitalized through hamshacha, is disqualified, is only pasul midrabanan. Okay, so machlokes whether it's pasul daraisa or pasul drabanan. There's also machlokes whether when you do hamshacha, how much, meaning, what does hamshacha mean? It goes across the ground. It doesn't go straight into the mikvah. Well, how much ground does it have to go across in order for it to be kosher? So it's machlokas rishonim also about what area of ground it has to go through. Beis Yosef quotes machlokas rishonim whether it has to be three tfachim of ground or maybe even just a light, little tiny bit of ground that it passes across would also be a valid hamshacha. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the more chamer shita that it's got to go across three tfachim. Chaznish says that the three tfachim don't have to be straight; it can curve a little bit, but it's still got to be three tfachim, like the Shulchan Aruch says. A third machlokas regarding hamshacha is what type of ground can be used. Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Reish Aleph in Yerdeya Sif Mem Vav that the shita, like, he passes like the shita of Rav Rishonim, that any surface on the ground that the water goes across is fine from hamshacha. The Ramah doesn't think so. The Ramah thinks that we should follow the shita of the Mordechai, that the surface used for hamshacha has to be a surface of water that itself could absorb water, like dirt, where it could absorb water. So that's the question. What about cement? Right? Cement is made. It includes dirt as a major component of the cement. So is cement? Can you run water along cement to get it into the mikvah? There's obviously very halacha lemaisa. So the Imre Yosher of Meir Arik says that you should not do hamshacha in cement because it doesn't absorb. But Chaznish says that cement is considered something that absorbs because cement is a din of dirt and dirt absorbs. So we rely on. We rely on the sheet of Chaznish, some use cement that's a different kind of cement. Some people are makbid to dafka use cement that has like a higher concentration of dirt. And if you use such cement, so then it's maybe that's closer to having a real din of dirt. Now the hamshacha alone is only going to take mayim shuvim and make it pasul midrabban instead of a psul daraisa. Right, so hamshacha alone is never the only way that we refill a mikvah or that we keep the mikveh fresh. We always do other things as well. We do hashaka, zriya. There are other methodologies of keeping the mikveh fresh without violating, without passing the mikvahs, besides from hamshacha. We do hamshacha as an added precaution usually, but that's not usually it's never the only thing we rely on. Okay, it's just a quick word about hamshacha. It says the Gemara, so wait a second, this price about a mikvah where we said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the pipe that you are Kovea Lubisov Chakako does not passel the the Brisa said it's not the Brisa doesn't quote anybody. The Stam Brisa that said a pipe that you were chokek and then put into the ground passels a mikvah, but if you put it into the ground and were then chokek, it doesn't passel a mikvah, so it matters whether it was a kli before being attached to the ground or not. That's the key distinction. So says the Gemara, it's lo Rabbi Elazar v'lo Rabbanan. It's against both Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, hey Rabbi Eliezer, which Rabbi Eliezer is this brisa against? So possibility number one, ilema Rabbi Elazar de bayis. Maybe you want to say it's against our Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer of the case of bias that we were just discussing, of the machteshes kavua. No, Dilma Heine time at the Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer savor mocher bayin yafa mocher, Rabbanan savor mocher bayin ra mocher. Meaning, why would it be against Rabbi Eliezer the bias? So says Rashbam in the fifth wide line. Ilem Rabbi Eliezer the bias, the machteshes chakukal b'sof kavua ke karka mashvile mukhur b'chal bayis. Because Rabbi Eliezer held that if you take this machteshes, which is made into a kli first and then attached to the house, it's considered part of the house. But according to whoever the author of this mission, of this brisa regarding mikvahs is, if you first make the pipe and then attach it to the ground, it's still considered a kli. Attaching it to the ground later doesn't take away its status of a kli. So it seems that the Rabbi Eliezer regarding the bias is against the author of this brisa, right? What about the Rabbanan? Of regarding the bias, umi rabban, so says Rashbam, umi rabban de pliga le lola havu han rabban and darmale lora blazer larbana. The rabban could actually fit very nicely, right, with this brisa. So when we're saying lo Rabbi Eliezer v'lo rabbanan, we don't mean, we never have a havamina that we mean lo rabbanan of the case of bias, because the rabbanan in fact hold that if you have the machteshes that you are then kovea into the ground, right? The Rabbanan hold that itaka still retains the status of a kli, which would fit beautifully with this brisa. So when we say lo Rabbi Eliezer v'lo Rabbanan, the ilema is only going on the Rabbi Eliezer part. Which Rabbi Eliezer is the brisa of the Gabe Mikvah against? So we're saying, is it the Rabbi Eliezer of the bias, which would seem to be really against the Rabbi Eliezer of bias? It would seem to be the right Rabbi Eliezer, because after all, by the bias Rabbi Eliezer held that when you make the kli and then attach it to the ground, it becomes part of the house. And we're saying by mikvaos that no, it's still considered a kli. So says Gemara, no, maybe Rabbi Eliezer dafka by a house holds that way, because we have a concept called that mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, that Rabbi Eliezer holds mocher is ba'ayin yafa mocher. Really, when you make the machteshes and then attach it to the ground, it's a machteshes. It's considered a kli. It's not considered part of the house. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say it gets included in the sale? Because he holds, when you sell, you always try to be as generous as you can in a sale. And that's all he's doing. So it's a special din, dafka by selling a house. It's not a din that's going to apply elsewhere. That's all we mean. When we happen to mention over here that the Rabbanan would hold Bayin Ra Mocher, but again, the issue is never about the Rabbanan, because we're not even suggesting that the Brisa is against the Rabbanan. We just, once we're mentioning that Rabbi Eliezer holds Bayin Yafa Mocher, we mention that the Rabbanan hold Bayin Ra Mocher. Now, if you look at Tosos, Yilema Rabbi Eliezer de Bayis, Hasam Baha Pligi, Pirisha Kuntrus, Umi Rabbanan de Pligi Ale, Lola Havu Han Rabbanan de Armel El, Lora Blazer Vlora Rabbanan. Right, what I've been saying until now, that the Rabbanan that we're referring to is never, we never have a havamina that that's the Rabbanan that we speak, the Rabbanan of the bias. We never have a havamina that that's the Rabbanan who are against this brisa, who the Gemara thinks are against this brisa, because that's what the Rashbam keeps on saying, that the Rabbanan regarding the bias have nothing to do with the Rabbanan who are against this brisa. So says Tosos, v'nira l'ri, dezeh dachka l'fi ma'ashe mefarish la'el, mochar samachteshes chakuka, Hainu kaval b'sov chakika. He says that's only because the Rashbam is locked in to his own shita that he said before, that when we spoke about a machteshes chakuka, we meant that you're koveya and then you're chokek. That first you attach it and then you hollow it out. Avaloas hakavua, and what did machteshes kavua mean? The way we've been translating the whole time, hainu chakika l'b'sov kava. That's when you hollow it out first, you make it into a proper kli first, and then you attach it. So you see, alma mifli rabbanan bein chakal b'sof kava ubein kavul b'sof chakka imkein asi shapik rabbanan. So you see that the rabbanan distinguish between when you make it a kli first and then attach it, or if you attach it and then make it a kli. So the brisa by mikvah would fit those rabbanan perfectly, and therefore Rashbam has to say when we're saying that the brisa by mikvah is against the rabbanan, it's not against these rabbanan that we're talking about by the bias, because it matches up perfectly with these rabbanan by the bias. Now, obviously, the Gemara doesn't read straight then, because the Gemara is saying it's lo Rabbi Elazar v'lo rabbanan, and then we quote the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the rabbanan by the bias. So it's hard to say that no, when we're quoting that machlokas, we're only focusing on Rabbi Elazar. We said lo Rabbi Elazar v'lo rabbanan, and then we quote the rabbanan. So says Tosos, ubechinam dachak lefarish, tematzinam lefarish techakuka. He says, you know what? If you just explain the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan a little differently about the definition of what's called chakuka and what's called kavua, then you'll understand that the brisa by mikvah is taka against the Rabbanan by the bias. Why? Because you could say chakuka hainu shelo tolsha me'olam. Chakuka meant something that was never talush. Shenechka b'sela hayotzi minahar. How did you make it? You literally hollowed it out of a mountainside, of a rock, of a mountain. Ukavua ben kavua b'sof chakuka ben chakuka b'sof kavua. Kavua didn't mean you first made it into a kli and then stuck it to the house. You could have stuck it to the house and then made it into a kli. The point is that you took something and stuck it into the house, as opposed to just hollowing it out from existing rock in a mountain or something like that. And therefore, the rabbanan in by the bias also don't distinguish. They might distinguish between making something a kli and then attaching it to the house versus attaching it to the house and then making it a kli. They only don't distinguish between when you hollow something out of a mountainside and when you have something attached to the house and then make it a kli. Right, but they might make the distinction that the brisa makes by mikvaos between whether you made it a kli first and then attached it, or attached it and then made it a kli. And that way, we could say that the brisa is lo Rabbi Elazar v'lo rabbanan, even including the rabbanan of the bias. So Tosa says that the Gemara could read much better that way. Okay, but either way, the Gemara said so. It's not our Rabbi Elazar and the rabbanan. So when we say this brisa is against Rabbi Elazar and the rabbanan, what are we talking about? So possibility number two, three lines from the bottom of Samech Hayim Beis. We're going to get to today's daf eventually. V'lo Rabbi Elazar to Kaveris Devarim. Rather, we're referring to Rabbi Elazar of a Kaveris Devarim, right? A beehive. Ditnan Kaveris Devarim. Rabbi Elazar Omer Harehi Kikarka. Kaveris Devarim is considered like karka. V'kosrin ala pruzbul, and you write a pruzbul on it, meaning you're only allowed to write a pruzbul. A pruzbul only works when you own karka. If there's no ownership of karka, then there can be no pruzbul. The Rashbam on Samach Vav Amud Aleph explains why. The Rashbam in the last, as the lines get skinny, says v'ani milik sheish al karka lelove to dami kitlu yesh lemalve mashkon to be mashkon lo shayich leigos. That the point is that when there's karka, it's considered like you have a mashkon, and whenever the lender is holding on to a mashkon, then there's no isser of claiming money after the Shemitah year. So why did they do that? Why did the Chum make such a takana that you need to have karka in order for prosbul to work? Says Rashbam, you know why they did it? Because whatever they could be misakin that does not look like they're going directly against the Din Torah, that's what they're going to do. Meaning, they don't want to make takanos that make it look like their mamash is just going against the din daraisa. The halacha midaraisa is that once Shemitah comes, all loans are cancelled, you can't claim your money anymore. So the rabbanon are going to say, write a prosbul and it's okay. What do you mean write a prosbul and it's okay? That's mamash against the din. So what they do is they try to make it look like the din daraisa as much as possible. So they say, look, whenever you have karka, we're going to consider that karka to be a mashkon, and whenever there's a mashkon, so there's no problem of claiming the money after the Shemitah. That's what he says himself. However, he quotes, Umi Rabbi Zakeni Zatzal Shamati, I heard from my grandfather, he says, obviously from Rashi, Tahaina taima. This is why a prosbul can only be written when there's karka. The stamlo ve'ein regilin lahalvoso elim kein yeshlo karka l'shtabe the malva. That normally a lender is not going to lend money unless the borrower has some karka that could be meshuba to paying back the loan. So therefore, milsa shchicha takinu rabbanan avol be'she'ein lo karka milsa lo shchicha hivlo takinu rabbanan prosbul. The rabbanan are only going to make a prosbul when on a type of loan that's shchiach. On a more common type of loan. When is it common to lend money? Only when. It's only common to lend money when the borrower owns karka. If he doesn't own any karka, why would I lend him money if he doesn't own karka? I have no confidence that I'm ever going to get paid back. And therefore, it's a milsa lo shchicha, and the rabbanan were not goes approvable in that case. But either way, those are the two shitos, Rashbam and Rashi, as to why they were only misakin approvable when there's karka. Rashbam adds, Va'as Rebbe Lazar l'meimar, Tim yesh lelova kaveres devorim, kosun prosbul. But the point is, if he owns a kaveres devorim, that's called karka. It's close enough to karka, it's called karka, and therefore you can write a prosbul. Now the whole idea of prosbul itself, the Gemara points out, is a tremendous chiddush. Hillel's Misakin prosbul is really a tremendous kula. It sounds like the Rav Shach used to say that the Reform love Hillel, because he takes the Din Torah and says that. But in contemporary society, we need it's not good enough for us, and we need to make our own laws, and we just uproot the dinim in the Torah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds terrible, right? So the point has been made that you have to understand. And Rashba makes the point over here that there is a mitzvah in the Torah to lend a Jew in need money, right? To lend money to people who need it. That's a very basic mitzvah of chesed. Now, and it's explicit in the Torah. Now, there is a further mitzvah in the Torah that when you do lend money, that you should allow the Shemitah to cancel the loan and you shouldn't ask for the money back. Now, which is the more basic level of chesed and which is a more advanced level of chesed? Now, clearly, lending the money in the first place is the more basic level of chesed. It's then an advanced level of chesed. It's a requirement, but it's an advanced level requirement of chesed to then just forget about the money at Shemitah. What the Rabbanan saw was that because of the requirement for the advanced level of chesed, people weren't doing the most basic level of chesed. They weren't lending money anymore. And therefore, they felt it was worthwhile to sacrifice the advanced level of chesed so that we could encourage people to do the most basic level of chesed of lending money. And that's the idea of prosbul. The idea of prosbul is to encourage people to lend money in the first place again. So that's the issue. But anyway, we're saying that this kaveres devarim has a din of karka. What does it have a din of karka regarding? That first of all, the kinyanim you do on it are kinyani karka. Second of all, you write a prosbul when you own it, just like if you own karka. Number three, ve'ena mekabelis tuma b'mekoma. It's not mekabel tuma in its place, because it's considered like karka. That's not makabel tuma. When karka is not makabel tuma. Varodim mena b'shabbos chayiv chatos. If you take honey off of it on Shabbos, you're chayiv chatos. So you're taking honey off of the honeycomb on Shabbos, you're chayiv karban chatos. What are you chayiv for? So you're chayiv for kotzer. You're chayiv for being tolish dover megidulo. Taking it's like pulling grass out of the ground. You're cutting something off from where it's growing. That's what you're chayiv v'chatos for. Even though honey doesn't really grow, it's not something that grows from the ground, you're still chayiv v'chatos. Gemara is going to dash in how we know that. V'cham omrim, eina k'karka. The Chum disagree, the Chum say no, it's not like karka, and therefore it's not nikne with kinyani karka. V'ein kosrin ala prosbul, you don't write a prosbul on it. U'mekabel stuma b'mekoma, and yes, it can be mekabel tuma. V'arodim mena b'shabbos pater, and if you take honey off of it on Shabbos, you're pater, you're not going to be chayiv. So what do you see from here? According to Rabbi Lazar, if we're going to say Rodim Mena on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv according to Rabbi Lazar, and according to the Rabbanan, you're not chayiv. According to Rabbi Lazar, apparently, when you're chakakol b'sof kavo, it's considered like karka. When you make the kli and then attach it, it's considered like karka, because the kaveres devorim is made and then attached. So if it's made and then attached, that should be considered like karka. Now that seems to be against the brisa that we had about the mikvah. Why? Because the brisa we had about the mikvah said that no, if you make the kli and then you attach it, then it's considered like a kli. If you attach it and then turn it into a kli, then it's considered like karka. So Rabbi Eliezer seems to be against that price of mikvah, which is exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for where Rabbi Eliezer is against the price of mikvah. And here you have it, because here you have a case where something is made into a kli and then attached to the ground, and yet Rabbi Eliezer says it's not like a kli, it's like the ground itself, against what the Braisa by mikvah said. And once again, the Rabbanan don't line up. The Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer over here line up too well with the Braisa, because we said that the Braisa is against both Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. It doesn't seem to be against these Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan over here, by the Kaveris Devorim, seem to assume that when you make it into a kli and then attach it, it has a din of a kli, which is exactly what the Braisa in Mikvaos said. So it's not these Rabbanan, but at least it's this Rabbi Eliezer, right? So don't you see that it's this is the Rabbi Eliezer that's against the Braisa by Mikvaos? So says the Gemara, Hasam Kadam Rablazer, time Adam Rablazer. No, he says, no, you have to understand. That's the whole din of Kaveris Devarim is a whole different din. It has nothing, you can't derive from there to see that it's against the Braisa by Mikvaos. Why? Because Rav Elazar explained the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. The Amr Rav Elazar, a little confusing, right? The Amr Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar the Amora, came along and explained, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer view Kaveris Devorim to be something that's Mechubel Karka, to be considered like Karka itself? Because the pasuk says Vayitpal also be Aras Hadvash, that Yonatan, Shaul's son, didn't hear that when his father made a shvua that against the entire nation that no one's allowed to eat anything as long as the battle was going on that day, that no one was allowed to eat anything, and he took his staff and he saw that a Yaras Devash, he saw honey in the forest, probably it's referring to not actual honey, although the Gemara is assuming it is, but it sounds more like it's like sap from a tree or something, because he's in a forest and he sees it coming out of a tree, and he takes a little taste, and his father had made a curse that whoever eats anything that day should get killed, and Klal Yisrael had to step up for Yonasan to save his life, because he had violated the shvur that his father had made. He didn't know about the shvur that his father had made, because he went on a secret spy mission while his father made the shvur, so he didn't even hear about the shvur that his father had made, but he ate from this Yaros Tavash. That's why Rav Yonasan Neipschitz named his sefer Yaros Tavash, because it was Yonasan who ate from the Yaros Tavash. So Yonatan Neipschitz made his Jewish sefer. He called it Yaros Tavash. But anyway, the point is, it says Vayitbal also be Yaros Hadavash. And what's a Ya'ar? A Ya'ar is a forest, right? So he had the honey from the forest. So what's the connection between honey and a forest? Honey doesn't grow in a forest. So my Ya'ar HaTolish Menah B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. So we darshan. Rav Elazar explains that Rabbi Eliezer darshans, that just like a forest, if you detach something from a forest, you're Chayiv HaKabron Chatas, Af Dvash HaRodim Menah B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. So to buy honey, if you take honey off the honeycomb, you're Chayiv HaKabron Chatas in Shabbos. So that's a special din. It's not, you can't derive from there to what the halacha generally is when you make a kli and then attach it to the ground, whether it's considered like karka. That's dafka special din in honey that we learn from a pasuk. But that's not to be compared to other halachos such as Hilchos Mikvaos. And therefore, we're still on the lookout, we're still looking for which Rabbi Eliezer is against this Braisa by Mikvaos. Right? We still don't have a Rabbi Eliezer that we can safely say is against this Braisa by Mikvaos. So we come up with possibility number three. Ella Rabbi Eliezer de Daf. We must be talking about Rabbi Eliezer of a Daf. Not a Daf as in page, but a Daf as in like a flat board. De Tanan, Daf Shel Nachtomin. If you have a board or a shelf of bakers, Shekavu Bekosal, that you've attached to the wall, right? You install, the baker installs a shelf. Why does he install a shelf? Why does he install a flat board? So it could be that after he takes the, Rashbam has a couple of possibilities, after he takes the bread, right, the hot bread out of the oven, he needs to put it somewhere to cool off a little bit. So he puts it on a flat wooden board to cool off a little bit. Or, Rashbam says, that in the bakery, if you ever walk by a bakery, in the front of the bake shop, they have a glass with shelves with the most delicious looking cakes and everything right in the front so everyone could see. Right, that's what all bakers have. So this was the daf. It was a shelf that they installed so that people can see all the delicious foods that they make. So daf shel nachtomin shakavu b'kosel, Rabbi Elazar mitar v'cham mitamin. So it was a daf, and then you attached it to the wall. So Rabbi Elazar is mitahir. Rabbi Elazar says not mekabel tuma. The chum say it is mekabel tuma. Right. So what do you see? What does Rabbi Elazar say? It was a kli first, then you attached it to the wall. And Rabbi Lezer says it's not mekabel tumah, it's considered like the karka. Whereas in the brayso that we have by mikvah, what do we say? That if you it's first a kli and then you attach it, it's still considered a kli. It's only not a kli if you attach it and then turn it into a kli. So Rabbi Lezer mitarvacham mitamis amani. E Rabbi Lezer. So who could our brayso by mikvah be going like? If it were going like Rabbi Lezer, afilu chakakol b'sof kavo, then even if you hollowed it out first and then attached it, it should still be fine. The mikvah water should still be fine, because once you attach it, it's fine. It's no longer, it's considered part of the, it's now considered part of the ground. It's no longer considered a kli. And Rabbanan, if the brisa by mikvah were going like the Rabbanan, well, the Rabbanan hold afilu kavlu b'sof chakakonami. Even if you kaveh it and then turn it into a kli, it's still no good. Right? The Rabbanan hold is still going to be mekabel tumah. How do we know that the Rabbanan hold that? Where did the Rabbanan say that? So says the Rashbam, it's from the fact that they never try to make any sort of chiluk, right? The Rashbam says, "Umidalo kamaflik bein tiknu l'b'sof kavu bein kavu l'b'sof tiknu alma l'rablazer akoltar loshna chakako l'b'sof kavu loshna kavu l'b'sof chakako ul'rabanan akoltame." Meaning the point is, from the fact that we never made a distinction between whether you made the shelf before you attached it to the wall, or whether you attached it to the wall and then made it into a nice shelf, so it must be that the Rabbanan hold it's always going to be tame, Rablazer hold it's always going to be tar, which is both are against our brisa regarding a mikvah. So says Mar Liolam Rabbi Lazari. No, maybe really our brisa by mikvah can be going like Rabbi Eliezer. Vishaini pshute kliyets the tuma de rabbanan, but pshute kliyets are different because the tuma is only the rabbanan in the first place. Meaning, when you have a flat board, that's not a base kibble. What is it? It doesn't have a receptacle. It's just a flat board. So why is that mekabel tumah in the first place? It's only mekabel tumah midrabanan. So when you're only dealing with tumah drabanan to begin with, then Rabbi Elazar will say, okay, once you install it and it's attached to the ground, we're going to say it's not a kli anymore. It's not going to become tameh. But if you have a real pipe which has tumah d'oraisa, so installing it may not take away its tumah status, right? It may still be considered a kli. Mechlal the shiva d'oraisa. Wait a second. From the fact that you're answering this by saying, flat board, that's only tumah d'rabanan, that implies that the problem of mayim she'uvim that we're dealing with by the mikvah is a d'oraisa dikadin, right? That there's a problem mid'oraisa. Aiva kaimelan d'rabanan. We pask in the mayim she'uvim is only a problem mid'rabanan. It's not a problem mid'oraisa. Remember at the beginning we discussed whether the drasha of the problem of mayim she'uvim is an asmachta or whether it's a drasha gemura. So it says Gemara, we say it's only d'rabanan. Va'or, and furthermore, ham Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Chavinina b'daf shal matechas machlokas. Furthermore, this machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan is not talking about a flat board of wood, made of wood. We're talking about metal. And metal doesn't need a receptacle in order to be mekabel tumah. Right? So it's mekabel tumah midoraisa anyway. So how can you say it's only mekabel tumah midrabanan? This is mekabel tumah midoraisa because it's made out of metal. So says the Gemara, liolam rabbanan hi, v'shayni she'iva derabanan. So what you have to say is, in the opposite way, you say, really, it's going like the Rabbanan, and she'iva is different, because she'iva is only the Rabbanan. Meaning, what were our two kashas? We wanted to distinguish between the case of the mikvah and the case of the daf shel nachtomin by saying what? That the daf shel nachtomin is only the Rabbanan in the first place. Whereas the mikvah is a daraisa dikadin. We said, what are you talking about? The mikvah is a drabanan dikadin, and that's kasha number one. Kasha number two, the daf shel nachtomin is a daraisa dikadin. So he said, okay, so then we'll distinguish that way. We'll make, meaning, so there's still a chiluk. So the chiluk is that, by the case of the daf shel nachtomin, maybe the Rabbanan are only going to be super machmir because it's a daraisa dikadin. And that's why they're going to say, even after you install it, it's still tameh. But by the case of the mikvah, maybe the Rabbanan will be mekel in a case where you install it and then turn it into a kli, because it's only, to begin with, it's only a din Rabbanan. So maybe the braisa of mikvah could be going like the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan are just more machmir by daf shel nachtomin, because that's where we're dealing with a din daraisa. So liol rabbanan, v'shayni shiva d'rabbanan. So frankly, Gemara ihachi afilu chakakol b'sof kavanami. But then l'chora, even if you made it into a kli first, and were then kaveya it, it should also be okay according to rabbanan, because after all, it's only a din d'rabbanan by the shuvim. And says Gemara, shayni hasam dika toras kli alav betalish. Now the rabbanan are going to be machmir when it was a kli before you ever attached it. If before you ever even began to attach it, it already had a din of a kli, so then the rabbanan are going to be machmir. Just a couple more lines. By Rav Yosef, Megisham Shechishev Aleim Ladiachas Ad Strovlin, Malus Ra'im. Right, the halacha is that water that you are nichale, that you want the water to be on your fruits, so that water is going to be makshir your fruits to be mekabel tuma. Right, even though you didn't put it there, it's kiyitin dumi dechiyutan, kiyutan dumi dechiyutin. Rather, that when water goes there, kiyutan, it goes on its own. If it's dumi dechiyutin, if it's similar to you putting it there, in what way is it similar? Just like when you put water somewhere, it's because you want it there. So too, when water ends up somewhere, but you're happy with it, you want it there, it's going to be makshir the fruit to be mekabel tuma. If your fruit gets wet and you're really unhappy about it, it's not makshir the fruit to be mekabel tuma. So what happens if you have megashamim that you were happy about the megashamim coming, the rainwater coming, ladiach es estrovlin, to rinse off these estrovlin? So mahul is zraim. What's the din about such rainwater to be makshir the zraim to be mekabel tuma? So according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds that he's for sure going to consider it mechubar, and the Yitztrovel is going to be no different than the Rashbam says Lomibay Yitztrovel the dummy lekarka tefemi machteshes kavod the vade chashem mechubar. Right, the Yitztrovel is for sure considered mechubar. Even a machteshes kavua, the Rabbi Lazar would consider mechubar. Right, so then you wouldn't have a shayla. So I leave it to Rabbi Lazar that it says kol mechubel karka rei karka lo tibaylach kiti baylach. Where do we have a shayla? I leave it to Rabbanan. The Re'enu kikarka, where the Rabbanan say that it's Re'enu kikarka. So then my, then what would be the din? So says Gemara teku. The Gemara leaves it off as a teku, as an unanswered question. Okay, so we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem will pick up from Shalach le Rav Nechemya tomorrow.